Good morning. Todd Zwillick here, in with Lynn Scherr. John and Celeste are out, yesterday and today. 5 years ago, Alabama teenager Natalie Holloway disappeared while vacationing in Aruba. You've heard this story. One of the main suspects in the case, Joren Vandersloot, was arrested this week, but for a different murder for killing a 21-year-old woman in Peru. Vandersloot was never charged in the Holloway case, the Aruba case, but earlier this spring, he tried to extort $250,000 from Holloway's mother by promising to show the family where Natalie's body was buried. Then, as sort of a sting operation, the FBI paid Vandersloot $10,000 in cash, wired another $15,000 to a Dutch bank account. Now Vandersloot has confessed to the murder in Peru, and the FBI has charged him with extortion and wire fraud for the Aruba case. The question we have is, could the FBI have prevented this murder from taking place? We're joined now by former FBI agent Craig Dotlow on the phone to help us answer that question. Thanks for joining us, Craig.
Thank you.
Well, Craig, I'll take it a little bit further here. The bottom line, the FBI went to probably the most famous murder suspect in America, paid him $10,000, didn't arrest him, then he used the money to kill again. Do I have it about right?
Yes, you have it right, although I think there's a lot of circumstances in the middle there that you didn't mention.
Okay. Such as, please.
Well, I think basically the FBI really was trying to get evidence concerning the murder charges, and I think they were using these other statutes, extortion and fraud by wire, to achieve that goal. So while they did, while there was a cooperating witness that did make contact with Vandersloot, and they recorded the conversation, and he did pay, I think, $25,000 in total, I think the real main objective there was to try to get more evidence about the murder, which is a much more serious crime.
At the time, right, before he was connected with a new one. But then the question is, his travel, leaving one place and starting to travel in South America, eventually ending up in Peru, one would think that once he's the target of a sting and had taken money, he should have been nabbed on the spot. And a private investigator involved with the case says just that. Does he have a point?
I don't think so. I think the private investigator involved in this particular investigation was with the New York City Police Department and worked with the local DA's office. And the way that the local DA's office does a case is much different than the way the federal prosecutors do. And the reason is because local prosecutors have a huge volume of cases, and so they've got to basically arrest people when they get probable cause and then rely on the interview to try to get a confession and then a quick plea. In the U.S. Attorney's Office, it's quite different. They can be more selective in the cases they choose. They have more time to work on these cases. And as a result, they want to make sure all the I's are dotted and all the T's are crossed so they can be assured of a conviction.
Okay, but on the international scene, I guess my question is, could they have, if they wanted to, have, I don't know about prevented him from traveling, but put a tail on him as he was traveling about, notify authorities in other countries, we can't arrest this guy now, but we'd love to, he's a prime suspect, put a tail on him because he's dangerous?
Well, that's the question. I mean, is he dangerous? The fact of the matter is, after the Holloway incident in 2005, Vandersloot had traveled in Europe and in Asia, and I don't believe that there's any evidence anywhere to indicate that he showed any propensity for violence during that period of time. And so I think it was reasonable for the FBI to expect that this visit to Peru would not result in a homicide. And in fact, we know that it wasn't premeditated, according to reports, that he became angry because this young woman had looked into his computer. And as a result of this anger, it sparked violence, and this was a spur-of-the-moment killing. It appears that way, at least anyway. So I don't think the FBI or no reasonable person could have ever expected that when he went to Peru, he was going to kill someone based on his past history over the last 5 years.
Okay.
And I think the FBI took that into consideration when they decided to allow the sting operation to go forward, because when he returned to Aruba, I think they fully expected to engage him in additional conversations in order to develop fuller information about the murder, which was a much more serious crime.
Well, there's no doubt that we're doing some retrospective second-guessing. They call it Monday morning quarterbacking, and it's a lot harder to make these decisions on the ground prospectively than it is to look back and say should have, could have, and might have. But Craig Dotlow, former FBI agent, you've helped us understand it a lot better, especially with all the true crime television going on and parsing this case and what should have been done. So thanks for joining us.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.